Krieger's a separatist. Maipei's a neo-republican. The Gorman Front, the Partisan Alliance, sectarists, human cultists, galaxy partitionists, they're lost. All of them, lost. Lost. I am the only one with clarity of purpose.
Frequency 1138 is all clear and clanker free. This is Clone Army Radio.
Execute Order 66.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Begun. The Clone War has.
I found them. Repeat, I found them.
What is up, Clone Army? Welcome back to the best accidental Star Wars podcast this side of the galaxy. We're just simple clones making our way, like our father before us.
No.
I went left.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Like our father before us.
There it is.
Nice.
I think we got it.
All right. So as y'all can hear, Leto is back. And... Yeah. Charlie is over there. Charlie's back.
I am over here, indeed.
I'm just doing the intro. I'm leaving now, so
I'll catch
you guys next week. Later.
I mean, Leto, I've done no prep for this episode, so it is all on you, my guy. It is all on you.
That's okay.
Ooh, nice. You did prep? Nice.
Me? Right. Prep?
Yeah.
It's all in here somewhere.
I'm lead the way then, boys. Lead the way. Yeah. I will observe.
Well, my first thing is I love seeing THX-1138 this past episode.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So much fun to revisit that movie. I mean, that's what that goes without saying. They put a orange streak on the jumpsuit, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's different.
Yeah, they had to change it up a little bit, right?
I guess. Movie. Yeah.
I saw a point that said that it reminded someone of the prisoner uniforms in Rebels, the orange and white. Wonder if that's a theme in prison uniform in Star Wars.
I don't even remember that in Rebels.
Cyril will know. He's into fashion.
Right. Good old Cyril.
Speaking of that, real quick. Cyril, I was listening to you guys, your last episode. Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you give us a review?
Oh.
5 stars. How
about that? Well, yeah. It's always 5 stars, of course.
Right.
But there was a couple things, if you don't mind, if I bring up before we get started on the new one.
Okay.
When are we going to see Cyril's cereal at Galaxy's Edge?
Probably this Christmas holiday season. Yeah.
I can't wait for that. Cyril's cereal.
Right.
And then the whole part where Cassian was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he got arrested and he's like, I'm only a tourist. And they're like, whatever, dude, you're part of this whole thing. That's like, okay. So there's this guy, I work with the studio. His name's Elstory Simon. And he was, wrongfully convicted of a murder, right? It's all in this movie called Murder in the Park that our company made. Anyways, he was at our office and he told us the story of him walking home from work. And at the time the cops were having, a roundup, if you will. They sectioned off a bunch of the city and they kind of squeezed the city, and anybody who was caught in the middle was going to jail. No matter what. They didn't, you know what I mean? And obviously, you know, these people are, you know, black, you know, in the wrong part of town. I mean, you know, they're just on their way home, but they get caught in this web, right? In this pincher type maneuver that the cops did, And anybody who was in there went to prison, no matter if they didn't do anything or not. This, like, you know, it's like, hey, I didn't do anything. Okay, now you're resisting arrest, right? Now you're a problem. Society, we got to block you up. We're going to, you know, put you in the system, right? We're going to put you in the system. And then once you're in the system, he said that you can't get out. Like, it's like set up to just keep you in there. No matter, you know, you miss one little thing, they add more time, blah, 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 blah. And that's like a real story. That's like a real, you know, human thing. And when I saw, like, Andor, you know, just like, you know, everybody was running and then he's just walking. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's like the same tactic. Like, they don't care that he's part of it or not. They just need people to be in the system because, you know, obviously what we saw in this episode. They need labor to build stuff, you know.
Star Wars has always been, since the beginning, a powerful tool for which to communicate and discuss and explore social issues. And I really appreciate that even now Star Wars is taking strides to express and discuss the, you know, the issues that we face as a society. And yeah, I think it's horrifying to think that people who've done nothing, like the most nothing of nothing, walking on the wrong side of the street, wrong place, wrong time, that happens daily in this country, in America, yeah, across the world. And I appreciate it. I think it's a really, really bold and moving choice for the show writers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now they put you in the seat of, like, I mean, he did do something wrong. I mean, not to say, you know, he's completely innocent, but, like, at that, for that incident, like, it could have been anybody. And obviously all those people that he meets in this episode, most likely something like that similarly happened to them or whatever. You can't assume it, but they don't talk about it. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, not everybody in prison might not be guilty.
Oh, yeah.
For the crime that they're in prison for. And we, you know, so I just wanted to, you know, touch on that because I didn't get a chance to. I was sorry, I was absent.
Right, you didn't even call off or anything. You just did a no show.
That was a no show.
Yeah.
No, for real?
Are you sure. I didn't get any paperwork or anything on, like, requested time off or anything.
Nope.
I thought I filed it in triplicate.
We're gonna have to see your ID, sir.
It actually needed to be 3 weeks in advance, not 2 weeks in advance. You might have missed that in the small print.
I'm just a podcaster.
But that's your responsibility, not our responsibility.
Right. Lito, are you wearing shoes? You're going to have to take them off.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there were a lot of feet in this episode.
Ugh. For real.
Sweaty, dirty, toe jam. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a feet person, so I'm just like...
No, it wasn't a...
How, like, on that subject, though, how... I don't want to say cool, because obviously it's bad, but for storytelling in Star Wars, how effing cool of an idea is that to keep your damn prisoners in line? Like, we're not going to just guard you. We're just going to zap you if you're out of line, and then you have, like, 5 seconds to jump in. I just think whoever came up with that idea is brilliant. I've never seen it in anything else.
No. The whole, like, level 1 of 3. Oh, my God.
Right? Yeah, he's all, like, you know, his body's all,
yeah,
like,
the way it was shot, that it wasn't... It was glitchy, almost, like stop motion, and I think that made it really unsettling, because everything we've seen so far is so kind of smooth and fluid, and then suddenly it's meant to be jarring, and it made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was, and then the one Imperial in the middle is just kind of smiling like he's you know, enjoying it. Onto a question that Lito had about Galaxy's Edge. When do we get the Star Wars moon boots in Galaxy's Edge?
Hell yeah. Oh,
dude,
a pair of those.
Those are going to be the new Marty McFlys of, you know.
Right, that's totally what they today. Were. Those guys walked out in those, and I'm just like, I'm watching. I'm like, what in the hell am I seeing?
They look so comfy. Yeah. Like, I have only had the pleasure of playing with a pair of actual moon shoes once in my life. Like, they're quite retro now, and it's magic. It's the best feeling ever. So, gimme.
Have you guys seen 2001: A Space Odyssey?
I've slept through it about 20 times. I've never seen the whole movie.
Thank you, John. I have too. I've never watched it all. I've fallen asleep so many times to it.
I want to see it, but I can't.
Yeah, I feel like I feel guilty that I haven't as like a sci-fi fan, but in the same breath, I'm like, I can't. There's never a right time. You know, when you sit down and it's just never the right time.
Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it's like noon on a Saturday. Do not watch it late at night. You will sleep right through it.
Okay, noon on a Saturday, right.
Noon on a Saturday. Plenty of light in the room, and, you know, then you can get taken away. But, man, I cannot do a late night show watching of that. But in there you'll see there's, like, this little scene where they have someone kind of like in a commuter plane spacecraft thing, and the flight attendant is wearing, as you can see, their shoes, and they're walking, and they're wearing grav boots. So, you know, to keep them kind of like, you know, magnetically.
Initially, I thought they were like gravity boots.
Same thing, yeah.
And, I don't know, floating. I don't know how that would control the prisoners, but it's so much worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Worse. It's so brutal. Like, just zap them. It's like a freaking floor taser. You know, Palpatine came up with that idea.
Oh, 100%.
It's like, I know how to keep them in line. Bottle up my electricity.
I find the concept that Cassian is allegedly, like, obviously it's implied, is he's now assisted in building the Death Star, which he then proceeds to go on in future and blow up. I find... there's something really interesting about, so not only has he screwed himself by leaving, if he'd have stayed with the rebellion, he would not be in this situation. So he's left and screwed that up. Because of the heist at Aldani, the rules have been cracked down and sentences have been extended. So he screwed himself again. And now he's building the Death Star potentially, like, what if the 6 years, what if he doesn't escape? What if the 6 years and the five seasons is just, we're just checking in with him. He just checks out for 6 years in prison, and that's part of the series.
Nice. So you think it's the Death Star? I was thinking it was like parts of like ships or something, because if it's, how soon after Revenge of the Sith, like when they show that ending clip of Palpatine and Vader, and I think Tarkin looking out the window and they're looking at the construction of the Death Star. Was that like right after? That couldn't have been right after Revenge of the Sith stuff took place, even though it was at the end of the film. So I was trying to figure out like how quick they were building it. It probably would take a while, right?
I've seen people go off of the kind of suggestion that it is when the first Death Star is being built, it is always behind schedule. They are always struggling to build it at the time frame Palpatine needs it to be built at. And for how big it is and the whole, you know, that's not a moon, it would take a humongous workforce. And I really do think that's what this is, because that underground, there wasn't just one of those podiums, there were multiple of them in that ocean, and it wasn't just one planet people were being sent to, it was three
that we know of. There could be
that
more
we
planets.
Know of
that one,
the
shot.
Only the only thing that explains that kind of huge scale operation must be the Death Star.
I could see that one shot of him when they're in like those tubes or tunnels or whatever, and he kind of looks down out the window and you just see how many prisoners there really are. I'm like, Jesus. And then, like, yeah, that's just one planet. On the subject of those planets, they mentioned, what is it? I have it written down. Belsavis, which is in the Star Wars The Old Republic MMO game. I've actually played my character on there, you know, back in the day. So,
nice.
You know, more nods to stuff from the past is really cool. You looked like you were going to say something, so I shut up.
Yeah, no, they pick a lot of spots from those games. Mm-hmm. They pick a lot of planets and stuff. They were always referencing those Knights of the Old Republic games. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know? Always makes me happy to hear those things. So, I wasn't even thinking about that, Charlie. That I'm just like, oh, what are they building? Like parts for ships or whatever. But yeah, they could be like wrapping things up with the Death Star or Death Star 2, for all we know.
They definitely need a lot of stuff built.
Yeah.
You know, So, I mean, I was thinking, you know, the walkers, you know, because I mean, kind of like, it looks like the, I don't know, like a star thing, like their feet, you know, but they need to be way bigger than that, but I don't know. I was thinking
that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really true, because those things are like stepping on snow speeders, so.
Mm. Yeah. But, like, they're underwater, is that? So they're, so we see the tops of those factories, right?
Oh, yeah, like, I guess that they could be in the water.
That's kind of weird.
Like Camino. Well, Camino's not underwater. It was above water.
Right.
The place kind of gave me Camino vibes, though. The bunks, like, was straight out of the Clone Wars cartoon. Like, where the clone troopers would, like... We did an episode way back, Leto, when they were in the bunks, and 99 was helping them fight and all that blah, stuff. Trying to keep that E off of our episode. I don't know. I just got like I got THX and Camino vibes from that prison. It was very.
I got big Camino vibes as well.
Nice.
I've had a little realization while you guys were talking. The episode sort of starts quite quickly with right Andals. He's being transferred. He doesn't know what's happening. Subsequently, we don't know what's happening. The way they play it and the way they dump information on us makes us as confused and unsure as Cassian. And I think I really felt kind of emotionally carried through the story with him in this episode. It was really interesting. Like when he got into the workshop and Andy Serkis, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I know, right?
I had no idea. Yeah.
As soon as I saw his like shoulders and the back of his head, I was like, I know that's that. It's.
I was gonna ask when you knew, because as soon as I heard his voice, I'm like, I go, is that? And Jennifer goes, Smeagol?
Yes. I was like, it's Gollum. It's Gollum. Everyone shut up. It's Gollum. Right.
You guys are good.
The way he explains the system and the levels and who's on top, and I was mind boggled. I had the subtitles on and I was still confused, but it's because Andor is also confused. So yeah. Just one minute he's like getting out of bed with a nice lady, he's stashed all his money away, he's living the good life, and now he's here.
Right.
I had no clue who that was. I'm like, why is this guy talking so much? He must be somebody big. And nice. I'm like, I got to work and the guy's like, did you see Andy Serkis? I'm like, what? Or what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, he was the guy that is the floor manager. I'm like, oh, geez. I had no idea.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, it's just his voice. Like, yeah, I mean, he played Snoke. So like, it's like, oh God, you know, you could hear Snoke and then it's like Smeagol and, he fits like right into Star Wars though with his normal look. Like he was great.
That that salt and pepper hair is gorgeous. In fact, very happy.
It's good stuff for you, huh?
This entire show has been great, honestly.
He's the creature golem.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing I think I did. I don't know if I actually texted you, Leto, what I was thinking, or if I did, I don't remember. But I'm like, I feel like this show, every episode, and this is kind of a knock on it, I guess, but like, I feel like I'm waiting an hour for something to happen, and then it's like, roll the credits. But then, like, what I did today was I rewatched it, you know, while I was having my coffee, and I'm catching all these other things. I have the subtitles on. So, I mean, there is stuff happening. It's just, I guess my biggest thing for this whole series so far is like, if you just broke it up with a little action, like spot, like even like a 25 second scene, it would keep me like awake. Cause I fall asleep every time I watch the show.
Oh.
And I think it's just too much talking, you know? And when you get married, you hear a lot of talking and you just want to go to sleep. I'm just kidding.
He said it. I didn't say it. It's usually my foot in the mouth. This is the foot now.
That is going to put you in the doghouse, my friend. That is out the door.
She doesn't listen to us anyways.
She's a Harry Potter fan.
No, but no, I think that just a little bit of action sprinkled in, and I have another point on that too, but it would keep me kind of super invested to where there's times where there's like a slow part or Cyril, which I'm not a huge fan of Cyril. Like, I just want to go to sleep. And my other point on that is like, if there was like a little bit of humor thrown in and a little bit of action, I would be asking if George Lucas had a hand in creating the show, because of all of these George Lucas nods that we've discussed. I mean, Lito, you said it right at the beginning, the THX stuff, like it's very nod at George Lucas, which is great. It makes me appreciate the show a lot.
Yeah. You know how they come into work, just like in THX, they got like, you know, very, you know, minimal space, and, you know, they got their only existence is to produce labor for the system, you know, and they're wearing the white, everything's very clean, everything's very, like, you know, regimented, and, you know, they're not allowed to have feelings, and they need to produce until you die, and, you know, keep going and beat the other guys, and you might get a little nugget of extra comfort or whatever, you know.
Yeah, taste in your food.
Yeah, like, taste in your food. Horrifying.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if, Charlie, I think you said you had COVID. Lito, I don't know if you have had it, but tasteless food and drink is like the worst thing ever. I'm like, I don't even want to eat or drink this because I can't taste it. And then I've heard that it doesn't come back for some people. And I'm like, oh my God, that's awful.
Oh no.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know if they like threw that in there as like, you know, well, hey, you know, this is like COVID. There's no taste in your food or whatever, but yeah, you know, if you do a good job, you can taste your food.
Yeah, they have nothing to enjoy. They barely enjoy what conversation they're allowed to have with each other. So it gets to the point where humans will do anything. They will do anything for even the smallest amount of like kindness or reward or something that feels familiar, because it's such an unfamiliar environment. I loved seeing the prisoners communicate using some form of sign language. I'm not too sure if it was a specific form or if it was something created for the show. And that seemed to be going across all levels. I guess they're communicating like production numbers and.
Oh, see, I was thinking like Breakout.
Oh,
because that the guy that was in the same tunnel as Cassian. He's been kind of looking around at things. He's observing kind of like Andor does. So I was thinking that's where my head went, was like these guys are trying to plan some kind of, you know, uprising or breakout or something, which I think is it's a clever way of doing it. Like you're across tunnels doing sign. No one's really going to pick up on what you're doing because you're in a huge, massive line of prisoners. So. But Andor saw it, and that's what I love about that character. I'm not like hugely sold on Cassian just because I feel like he's a backseat character so far in the show. But he sees everything. Like a few episodes back, he's telling people, "Oh, well, you're right-handed, you're left-handed. You know, you have to have the firearms facing this way." And when he's being processed with those guards, he's like, he's got his hands up and he's looking at everything and he's listening to what the guards are saying. Andor's
They really slipped talking about how low on numbers they are, which again is another indication that whilst like the ISB are obviously mega overstaffed, the actual Empire's forces itself are so understaffed and so stretched thin that eventually something has to break. Mm-hmm. And it's already starting. I thought you guys would appreciate the kind of contrast of the whole episode between kind of depravity and emptiness, and then the lap of luxury and affluence and wealth, like this constant back and forth between these two really key characters, but in very both fighting for their lives, but in very different situations. That was really, really enjoyed that as a kind of storytelling device. Fab.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two extreme sides of the of society. Yes. You know. So, you know, you got the worker bees doing their thing, and then the upper echelon kind of, you know, having their
cocktails,
their battles. Yeah. That little worm, like the tequila worm type man. Thing. Squigs, yeah.
I think I have that written down in here.
Reminds me
of verbal spats.
Like when people drink like alcohol with like eels in. And
yeah. What is, Lito, you've seen the Poltergeist movies, right?
Poltergeist. No, not really.
Oh man,
those are scary.
Yeah, those are some scary movies, Charlie. We were kind of texting about those. But Poltergeist, I think it was the second one, the father like had a drink and there was a little worm floating around in it. And after he drank it, he like was possessed. And that's what this the squig stuff reminded me of was that movie. And I'm like, okay, well, it's Halloween month. You know, Halloween's in a couple days, and we're seeing like something that's taking me to Poltergeist. Now I want to watch the Poltergeist, by the way. But
yeah, I haven't watched them in ages. Good shout.
Yeah, they're creepy. The guy and I don't know if he was in the first one, but in the second one, the Reverend guy. Oh my God, he's creepy. but yeah, I was trying to figure out, I didn't Google it, but what drink that is with the worm in it that like we have. I know there's an actual drink with a worm in it. Do you know at all, Lito?
No, sorry.
Okay. I thought it might have been like tequila, but I don't know. I if anybody listening out there knows, hit us up with a message.
There's a bar in America where you can drink alcohol that has a toe in it.
A toe.
Oh.
A toe. Like a big toe.
A toe?
Yeah. Just a toe. Like a big, like somebody's big toe. I think it was a whole thing back from like the mining days. I'll have to find the details on the story, but yeah, there's a whole thing where you have a shot of the alcohol and the toe is put in the glass and you have to drink and the toe has to touch your lips.
Oh. someone severed toe?
Yes.
Oh man.
But like good perfectly gosh. Sterile because it's preserved in like basically like moonshine, like 90% proof.
Well, you know, if it's sterile, I still
want a sterile severed toe in my drink. Mm-hmm. And that's like a thing that people want to do.
Apparently that's, so.
Well, that's, you know, people do weird things.
It's a little uncouth for me. My taste.
Speaking of worms in drinks, I like that we're learning kind of a little bit more about Mon Mothma's like Chandrila heritage and like her kind of culture, and it's not an area of Star Wars. I don't know if it's been mentioned much in current canon or in the extended universe or anything like that, but I'm fascinated by all of these interesting cultures and customs they seem to have.
Right.
Also getting married at like 15.
Yeah,
arranged marriage, both. Ooh.
You can tell why they're not happy, or at least partly why. Yeah. Perrin seemed a little different this episode. He seemed a lot nicer to her, I thought.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that guy, Lito? Her husband.
Which one?
Mon Mothma.
Yeah, that was awesome. The guy was all like, I'm going to go have fun feeding the galaxy. I'm going to go feed myself. And the guy was like, charity begins at home. And then that face he makes when he walks this great. He's in between them. I think he's, I don't know, man. I think his time's coming for real. Like, I think he's dead. I think he's dead meat. I think he's, you know what I mean? I think he's just going to be there to, you know, make Mon Mothma, you know, join the rebellion even, you know, and have another reason to hate the Empire when they take him away to be tortured, you know.
Just the way you said it. Now take him to Detroit.
I didn't say it. We might have listeners in Detroit. That's a great place. Love Detroit.
What movie was that?
Where my Detroities at? Kentucky Fried movie.
That's what it was. Okay. Shout out to that movie. That was hilarious. All right. So we're going to see. I was thinking on topic of a character getting killed or dying soon. Marva is. I said it last week. I think she's definitely on her way out. She was looking really rough.
Oh, yeah.
I had something.
Just the idea that she's turned into like this mad old woman who's obsessed with stormtroopers and proudly stating that she's a rebel, and Bix just leaning against that like that frame and being like, she's a rebel now.
Bix. You know what? Bix. I couldn't eye candy of Bix. I just couldn't stop. I didn't know what was going on. It's just like focus. I'm smitten by Bix.
Wow.
There's something about her, yeah.
She is extremely, extremely pretty.
I think so. Agree. She's, yep. So I'm like, wow. What? Just like, what's going on? Bix? Okay. More Bix, please.
Yeah, she's going to get tortured, it looks like.
Oh, poor thing.
It was a bit, it was interesting. I've completely forgotten her name, blonde imperial lady, goodness me.
Oh, Dedra.
Dedra. She is on this power kick. Like, I really was all for women first in the workplace, but now I wish to retract my statement. Get them out. She's power's gone to her head.
Oh, yeah, big time for her.
Her and Cyril, like, Cyril wants to team up, and she's like, no, you can chill here. I'm good. I don't need you trying to usurp me.
I think it's six false reports about Cassie and Andor.
Right.
Man, he did not waste time.
Yeah, no. He's hell-bent on finding him, which is kind of cool, like, you know, that he's got his mission, but he's just, I don't know, somebody made a meme. It is. Someone made a meme that, like, put him on the face of that guy from Office Space, the stapler guy, and I'm just like, that's all I see with him now. He's just like, well, that's my stapler.
Right.
He is Dwight. That's very true.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But I'm kind of glad to see that I not that I'm going to take credit for it, because I've heard a lot of other people talk about it recently, but glad to see that Dedra, blonde lady, Kate Winslet.
Right. Kate.
Cheekbones.
Yeah. I'm glad to see that her and Cyril, like, communicated, because I still do think that they're going to hook up, you know, not sexually, but, you know, maybe, you never know. But, but, you know, I think that they're going to hook up to try to find Andor. At least that's what I think it's leading to. Even though she blew him off, you know, she's going to come back and be like, okay, you know what? I think you know something else. And maybe they'll go from there.
I would also like to celebrate this episode as a win for the LGBTQ+ community, because this is the first time we have had two gay characters on screen openly express love for each other verbally, not just a kiss in the background of a shot, an actual I love you from one woman. It was beautiful. I cried. It was wonderful.
Wow.
A huge step forward.
What I love is their chemistry too. Like, it doesn't feel like it's a forced I forget what you call that now, like, where you just throw it in there to appease people. Like, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like they've built these characters.
A virtue signal.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. You know, they built these characters, and then the actors have, like, bonded somehow, because it's really believable. The low blow that Cinta gives to Vel about, you know, I could just be a, you know, rich girl running away from my family. And it's like, just that, you know, that's typical relationship kind of stuff, where you kind of, when you're mad at each other or upset with each other, you kind of do poke the bear a little bit. So I think, I don't know, I love those two characters. They're some of my favorites. Plus, Cinta's kind of hot, so.
Yeah. It feels really authentic, and that's something that's really important in portraying any relationship on screen, regardless of sexuality. And it sort of, Vel wanting to stay, but Cinta being more committed to the cause than she is to the relationship, but Vel also, like, understands that and respects that, and the crossfade of Vel being on the train and Cinta looking out the window was just stunningly done, together but apart. And
right, oh yeah, there was that shot where Vel was on the, I'll call it a train, whatever it was, looking out the window, and then Cinta was, like, staring out the window, you know,
and it
was good stuff.
I love
what she said.
Oh, I'm so sorry, after you.
Okay. It's just a quote on what Cinta was saying to Vel. She goes, "You think the Empire stops to catch its breath? This is a fight to the death, Vel." And I'm like, she is all, the mission is the focus. The mission's what matters. I love that about a character, because they're, you know, obviously she loves her, but she's putting the mission above it all. It's brave, I think.
Very brave.
Go ahead.
We also had, like, in terms of transitions, we had, like, a full, I don't know what the name for it is, Leto, you might be able to help me with this. When they're, like, it's a, like, a swipe transition, but it swipes down to, like, a shape. Like, we had, like, a whole, like, classic Star Wars down to like a circle and then the scene changed. That was really cool. There's a lot of love and appreciation for old Star Wars, like original authentic Star Wars, and it makes me so happy.
Yeah, there's a lot of dissolves. A wipe is that one that kind of like goes across the screen. Yeah, obviously, you know, that one's an easy one. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure what the circle one is called. Probably, you know, a dip to circle or something like that. You know, who knows? But I'll find it out and I'll let you know what it is. But yeah, that's an easy. I mean, that's watching the old Star Wars now and then doing a little bit of editing myself, I'm like, man, you could do that as a click, as a button, you know, like a click, you know, you just kind of like in editing, you just kind of move that kind of setting onto in between a cut and it does it automatically. I'm like, man, that's so easy. I wonder how it used to be with like having to do it with film. Like, how do you even, I don't even know how they would, you know, have to do it with actual film and editing equipment. I don't even know how it worked. I've never even seen it like done, but
I'm super actually easy quite now. Ashamed that I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. We didn't get it. We all edited with, you know, digital, you know, linear, the digital stuff. So, I mean, we didn't have film digital equipment. So I don't know how they did it, but, you know, it's pretty cool. Everything probably took more time. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Tons more time.
But, yeah, I just wanted to talk about, the floor again, you know, when they're back in prison. The floor is lava. Thank you. I that was my thing.
Steal it from you?
You stole the thunder. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Poor guy. Yeah. It's like, and then the guy like took himself out and, they had like, he's going to be stinking there all night.
I just caught that in my mind. Like, oh, man. Well, yeah, because they're not going to come in and clean it up, are they?
No, they don't even care. They don't be there till morning. They're like, their floor will take care of everything. That's disgusting.
Star Wars to kind of openly cover suicide, but for it to be done so quickly and handled so crassly and cruelly by the cellmates, like it's something that happens all the time.
Yeah, I bet it does. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really interesting contrast. Like there's no mourning, there's no sadness, there's no kind of respect or understanding for the life or how that person may have been feeling. They are drones in a machine and the machine does not care.
Mm-hmm. No, it's got a purpose and it's just to use their, you know, energy for their means, but they're, you know, just use them and abuse them and till they die.
Sorry, Nito.
I thought, like, was this the first time Star Wars mentions a toilet? I don't remember hearing it ever again.
Yeah,
ever before. Gosh. Yeah, they mentioned the toilet pulls out of the wall. Like, oh, so that's how they go to the bathroom.
Because then they call it like a vac tube in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're changing it to toilet. I caught that, but then it escaped my brain, so I'm glad you brought that up, because is it weird? To me, it's weird to hear toilet in Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd think it would be called something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then like, okay, it's the same, they do, it's the same stuff. It's like the same, they got plumbing and stuff in there. You know what I mean? That just opens up the whole, you know, well, where are the plumbers? You know, who does all that, you know? That's a lot of work to like
navigate. What happens if the toilet gets backed up?
Well, Finn was like waste disposal, so it could have been that waste, not
garbage. Yeah. Not garbage.
Yeah, maybe.
It's interesting.
You gotta devise a whole system just to, you know, for the, you know, the matter.
The shower system was really interesting.
It's like steam or something.
Yeah, like a disinfect, I guess, like a clean steam.
Were you hoping for a butt scene, Charlie?
Oh, we were so close. We were so close to Andy Serkis, but we were so close to a bum in Star Wars. So close.
I almost thought they were going to do it because the camera kept panning lower, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to have to hear Jennifer get all excited in a minute.
Man buns.
nice. A different kind of man bun. know, I guess with the word toilet, though, I mean, they'd use other words that we use, like water and laser, sword, ship. So it is, it's weird. I will say for sure it's weird hearing toilet or sandals. They said sandals. I'm like,
what?
Yeah. That's kind of when they took off their shoes. He's like, shoes and sandals, throw them on the ground. And I don't know. But there's so many other parallels to real world in this series so far that I guess you can't really. I don't know. It's not awful, I guess. It's just weird.
Toilet.
So one of these guys on the crew makes it all the way to Rogue One with him? Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Oh, this Melshi guy. Right.
Do you remember him from Rogue One?
No.
Remember seeing him? Me neither.
I heard on a different podcast like 2 or 3 weeks ago, they're like, oh, and I heard Melshi's going to be in it. And in my head, and I'm, you know, I won't say the word, but I'm like, who's Melshi? I had no idea. So I had to look it up. And then I heard his name in here. And I'm like, who is this guy? So I looked it up. And yeah, he was in Rogue One. I don't remember him at all in there. But cool, I guess, you know, Andor, Cassian found a friend in this prison.
Yeah, it must be his the way he escapes. He probably, you know, them two guys, you know, make it out. I mean, he obviously makes it out, both of them. So maybe that's, you know, who helps him escape.
We also have to take a minute to appreciate Cassian's 30 days in that prison. Good gracious, did he look rough.
Oh, yeah.
No, when the camera cut back in, they did a really good job at making him look sickly and tired.
Mm-hmm.
But he's made Len Mike the most productive on the entire floor. Absolutely turned it around. I guess it's what he does. He's a leader.
Yeah.
He's a leader constantly pushed into roles where he's not able to be the leader, yet still ends up being it because that's naturally part of his character and personality. And that is...
Yeah, that's... I'm glad you brought that up. That, well said. That's good
Thank
stuff.
You. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he, you know, and to touch on it just for a minute, he, like I was saying before, he's going into these situations where he doesn't know what he's doing or what's going to happen, but he finds a way, like you mm-hmm. said, because he's thrown into these situations and he's thrust into being a leader. And I like the character. It seems like he's just kind of, he doesn't say, that's the one thing I like about him, I guess, is he doesn't say much yet, which is weird. But his acting says a ton. This was the first episode, I think, that we saw him scared, right?
Yeah.
He was getting thrown into the prison and all of that. So, oh, and then on the tunnel before he saw the sign language, it looked like he was having a panic attack. So it's kind of cool to see that your lead character, if he is, you know, well, one of the lead characters, but you see them struggling and dealing with all of the stuff, all the weight that's on his shoulders, I think is a really cool. I don't know. It's good storytelling. It really
is. For real. You cannot underestimate the power of a show, don't tell.
Right. Leto always says that too.
For real. How about the part, I think it was really small, like to rewind right at almost at the beginning, where he's getting processed and get brought into the prison. And there was like this little, like the guards were having a problem kind of like getting synced up. I mean, it could be because they weren't staffed, like you were saying, Charlie, as much as they should be. But I don't know. I figure, like, why are we watching this? This has got to mean something. I would definitely file this away for like maybe part of the escape. You know what I mean? With this not, something being a little off here, because I thought he was going to get rescued right then. You know, for some reason. I mean, it kind of seemed like there was something off there, and like I'm like, oh, okay, cool. He's not even going to be here 5 minutes. This is great. But like okay, well, they did that for a reason.
I totally had a thought what you were just saying about thinking he was going to get rescued right away. I started thinking when he was looking around and listening and all of that, I'm like, is he waiting for something? Was this like a planned arrest? But it wasn't, but it kind of got that feeling.
I was hoping he was going to punch a guard.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, just sock one of them in the face.
That would have been awesome.
But 30 days is an excellent amount of time to figure out what's going on, when it's going on, who's doing what shifts, who's when and where, because that's a whole month. And obviously these sorts of things, like, you know, run in cycles, which means we are building up to a prison break episode. And goodness me, do I love a good prison break.
How's he going to do it? How's he going to make a shell of himself and put it in, you know what I mean? How's he going to construct a head from paper mache or something?
Yeah, he's going to put it in the bed and he's going to steal some boots because he saw where those boots are kept. What a stupid place to keep them.
Are they going to use a spoon to dig through the walls to get to the boots? And
yeah. He's going to ride a motorbike over the chain fence and it'll be amazing.
Nice. Awesome.
That'd be sweet.
That's good stuff.
He'll take he's spitting out a little bit of his food, and the acid is chewing through. He's making a little hole in his cot there, and eventually he'll get to the wiring, and then
that'll short out the flooring.
There you go. To be honest, that sounds like a Cassian plan. I'm not gonna lie, that absolutely sounds like something he would concoct. So if that happens, Leto called it.
Nice. Well, know that Cassian used to watch MacGyver, right?
There you go.
We also cannot do this episode without talking about Saul Guerrero.
Oh, right. Oh, you mean this guy?
Yeah.
I had to bring
the legend himself, Forrest Whitaker, has returned to bless us with his presence, and I'm so grateful.
I think I mentioned before with Mon Mothma and Luthen, they're back and forth. Again, Luthen and Saw Gerrera, the stuff was so... I was locked in. Like, I was kind of getting sleepy. And then we saw two tubes, this guy. Check him out.
Well, that's another...
Yeah. Another Rogue One character.
That's right? Another film technique, John, in storytelling, is you want to wow him at the end.
Right.
Wow him at the end.
Mm-hmm. And
leave him wanting more. Yeah.
They totally did. So, Charlie... Tell us about Saw Gerrera and Luthen.
I was blown away by the speech. I fully expected it to be like a relatively cheerful kind of reunion. Obviously, like they've traded before, they know each other, they work in the same circles. And Saw is just not having any of it. He's so kind of politically motivated at this point, and it's really interesting to see that entire speech. I wish I'd written down the entire list of things that he said, because they're all specific references to different parts of these kind of rebel cells.
Oh yeah.
And when he did the pain in his eyes when he says they're lost, they are lost now, is everyone knows that they're fighting for something, but nobody's quite put all of the pieces together that they're all fighting for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a kind of key point in the birth of the rebellion. And obviously Saw Gerrera is very influential in uniting all of these forces and all of this stuff. Could someone explain to me why are separatists considered bad? I feel like I'm missing something of the kind of political hierarchy of the Star Wars universe.
Separatists like attacked Saw Gerrera's home planet, Onderon, and his sister. Spoiler alert, his sister got killed in that battle. And
Ahsoka was there, right?
Ahsoka was there. Ahsoka's like wasn't there some guy that Ahsoka has a crush on there too? I can't remember his name.
Right, some kid, some dude.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at least for Saw Gerrera, the separatists are definitely bad because they played a role in his sister being killed, so...
Okay, I can respect that. Go and murder them. That's fine.
Mm. It's good to see Saw hasn't gotten deteriorated enough to have to use that air.
I'm glad relatively.
CPAP mask.
Yeah. Those scars are gnarly, though. Ooh.
I wonder if we'll see how he gets to that point, though. Because, I mean, he looked really healthy in this, so... That's only, 5 years from that episode that he'll be all jacked up. I love when he says to Luthen, there's a couple of things I wrote down, but one of them was, I am the only one with clarity of purpose. And I'm like, wow, but that's also very radical of someone to say. But at the same time, these guys are considered radicals. They're mm-hmm. fighting, you know, they're fighting an oppressive government. But that's so Saw Gerrera from like what you see in Rogue One a little bit. You see in Jedi Fallen Order. You see in Rebels a little bit. He wants to do it all. Like, he doesn't want to, he even says in here that he works alone. He doesn't want anyone else. He wants to just take it all on himself.
So is he an anarchist? I mean, like, what is this?
Yeah.
I mean, then he doesn't want, he's not fighting these people just to and put something else. And he just wants to be a cog in the wheel, just constant nuisance. And that's,
well, he wants to wipe them out, but yeah, he doesn't care. Like, about, you know, the Republic coming back or anything.
Right. He doesn't want to put something in its place, right? Or build something better. He's just like chaos for chaos's sake and just like try to take out the powers that be because they hurt me. That's what it is. You know, people have their motivations. The cave that he's in a little bit, I mean, for some reason it was giving me the crate vibes for some reason, just the way it was shot, you know. You can see the outside, but then they're on the inside and they're light. You know, it just kind of seemed like it's the same type of cave system or something to me.
Seems like a common like setup for the Rebels, caves and stuff. Did you see the X-Wings?
Yeah, whose X-Wing was that?
I don't know. There were like two of them parked.
No, not Luke. Yeah. There's two of them?
Yeah. I remember reading in a comment thread on Reddit, they're prototype X-Wings. They're not quite what we class as X-Wings. They're the stage, like the model and stage just before. Mm. So I guess it's showing that, like, especially Saw Gerrera seems to be hoarding resources, like collecting weapons and bombs and bullets and all of this sort of stuff. Not bullets, they have bullets in Star Wars, Charlie. Get with the program. Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Prepping for a war.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to, I was listening to your episode last week, and that was one thing I was bringing up, like watching, and there was lasers and everything. I'm like, that's a silly, like, in our weapons, you know, there's bullets and you can't see them unless they got tracer rounds, I guess.
Yeah.
So like, you don't really know who's shooting at you. If someone's shooting at you, you can hear it, but you don't really know if you can't see them.
Lasers are directional. That's a good point.
Yeah. Lasers take you right to the person that's shooting at you. It's like, oh, there's the guy right there. Pew.
That's a good point, dude. So like some stuff, like futuristic stuff, is kind of stupid in a way. Because, with real firearms, you could see the flash, you know, when the when it hits. But then once the bullet's in the air, you don't know where it's coming from. You can't block that with a lightsaber.
No.
That's funny, dude. Did you guys catch how both of those guys were like not taking credit for Aldani?
I know.
That was hilarious.
I like to think that's a little game that they've played for years. It's like a discussion over drinks they have where it wasn't you. It wasn't me. Of course it wasn't me. Was it you? No, it couldn't have been you.
it totally had that feeling. You could tell that these guys are similar. Obviously, I think Saw is a little more. I thought Luthen was going to be more like Saw is in, you know, whatever it takes, we're doing it. But I think he's a little less than Saw, but they're very similar. And you can tell that, yeah, they've had those conversations often. It felt that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, no one wants to show their hand. I'm sure they want to, you know, maintain their ignorance is bliss, but like the other thing, it's like it's on the tip of my tongue, I'll remember it. Jeez. you know when you don't want to know something, but you know what I mean, you don't, because you don't want to like have to like say it if you're being tortured. What's the word?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wrote down Stone Cold Steve Austin, DTA, don't trust anyone. And that's kind of where I got with these guys. Yeah. It's like they'll work, you know, kind of together. They'll communicate, but they don't trust each other at all. Otherwise, one of, you know, Luthen would have been like, oh, yeah, that was totally me. You know, I had this group. And it's like, no, I'll pretend I think it's you, and we'll move forward. Who the heck is Anto Krieger? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Some guy Luthen wants Saw to go and talk to, and Saw's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, this guy has sky air, something to do with ships.
Yeah, right. So that's interesting. Luthen's planning like another attack, perhaps? I don't know. My first thought was he was like, maybe somebody was in prison where Cassian was that Luthen wanted, but
yeah,
I don't know if they would connect them that close.
I'm really interested. There are several groups on the hunt for Cassian, and I find it really fascinating that, like, if somebody goes missing, like here in like this world, it can be impossible to find them. But the concept of being lost, like in space, in the galaxy, in multiple galaxies, is so just mind-boggling. Where do you start? Where do you even start looking? Because it'll have gone under multiple different names. And it just, the task ahead seems so overwhelming.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I feel like almost with Cassian, they're going to end up Cyril and Bond Lady.
Dedra.
They're going to end up figuring out that Andor is, like, captured in one of their prisons. And they're going to get there, like, it'll be like those old school shows. They'll get there too late.
What if he gets so good and increases the productivity of that section of the prison so much that it gets reported back to like the Empire as, this cell is doing exceptionally well, blah, blah, blah. We need to do more like this. And that's how they find him.
Yeah. Like who's on that? You know, they ask like
who's head of the crew.
They wouldn't catch his name because he's using, you know, Greef Karga.
But his face.
Same thing as that, but his face. Right. And that's what'll end up happening. Do they know what his face looks like, or is it just Cyril? I can't remember.
No, they have they had that big meeting when Daedra was doing a whole little presentation, being like, "Please give me resources." She like pulled up the little hologram thing of his face, but he's much younger, but still recognizable as.
He should grow the beard back, and then he'd look a little less like his holo.
Bring the beard back.
Yeah, he should anyways. He looked better with it.
I agree.
But that guy, the old fella in there on their squad, he's not doing so good. So
no.
I don't know if, you know, they're gonna be sending any records if he's not gonna be lining stuff up properly, and they gotta stop for him. So he's gonna be tricky.
Someone being that old, the implication that he's maybe been there for an extremely long amount of time is.
What is it? They got their sentences like doubled or something like that while they were in there?
Yeah, their sentences like doubled or tripled because of what Cassian did. So them being in there for longer is Cassian's fault. All of it is his fault.
Yeah. He played himself on this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he said, I don't know anything. I haven't heard nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, look, it wasn't me. The consequences of my own actions.
Yeah, right. I didn't do it. I did nothing.
You know, talking about that old guy, Leto, do you think any of these prisoners actually finish their sentence and leave?
No. And I don't think the manager's leaving anytime soon at all. They'll find some way to keep him. He's too good. He runs that tight ship, and they're going to keep him in there.
I think you work and then you die. You don't leave.
Yeah, or you sleepwalk or off yourself and
because
was that what the heck was his name? I was gonna say Milosh, that's not it. Melshi, he like runs over to Andor and like tells him don't look at the number count or whatever, and he starts rattling off all the stuff before Andy Serkis yells at him. So yeah, I think there's definitely something to that there's no getting out. There's no you just work till you're dead. Hey, that's a parallel to real life.
It's almost like the LeQuint Dickey Mining Company from the Django Unchained.
Oh, Django I've Unchained. Seen that movie.
Oh, you'll see it. Yeah, watch it. It's good.
It's a good film. Says,
yeah, everybody tells me to watch it. I just never think of it.
I'll say no more.
I mean, is anyone ever in the mood for a 3-hour Tarantino film? Let's be honest.
Is it really that long? Oh my God.
I don't know. Sometimes it's fun.
Yeah, about, I think it's like 250. Like, oof.
What? Why did we clearly see Mon Mothma's daughter walking away again? And like,
what is she up to?
Yeah, she's doing. She's sneaking. There's something going on there. In the center of the screen, that's where the most important spot is. She's sitting there. They're in the background. She walks in. I mean, she walks away, and she's like eating. I mean, what does that mean? What are they trying to tell us?
Well, she's also showing up anytime. What's his face? Tay and Mon Mothma are talking. The daughter always pops up. My thought is somebody telling her to spy on her mother, like either her dad or somebody else. Because they're showing these things for a reason.
She's very nervous.
Mm-hmm. Extremely nervous. Yeah.
Like a lot also of pressure on making her. A point of whether Tay's been visiting or he stayed over. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. I also wonder if she's a bit suspicious of him and her mum's relationship.
Right. There's definitely weird. Going.
There are so many kind of little threads of background stories that we're sort of forgetting in lieu of, it's Cassian. It's about Cassian and his story, that I like to think they're really taking their time with some of these more kind of smaller storylines.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the episode is this the one with the window where they're talking about a window?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mothma uses it as like a metaphor for their marriage.
Right. That's what I have to say. There had to have been a deeper meaning.
Yeah, it was about becoming comfortable with the familiar.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
And so it doesn't, you lose appreciation for it because it is so familiar. And like, because she spent so much time in Coruscant, the view of that window, i.e. her marriage, is so familiar and boring.
But then she vows that I'm going to spend more time looking out this window.
Yeah. Oh,
that's just fluffing things up for the guests, you know?
Yeah, it was all very...
pity laughs.
Yeah, it was all very fancy political, I'm going to win my votes talk. Mm. Very flippant, very surface. She's obviously very accomplished at playing this game that she's playing. Otherwise, she wouldn't be worshipped. A senator at 16.
Right. How old was Leia when she was... I thought Leia was the youngest, but did they change that, or was Leia still the youngest? Or am I totally thinking of just Padme as a queen? I don't know.
Wasn't Padme the queen at 13?
Yeah, something like that, or 14.
I thought that was one of our trivia questions.
It was, that's why I'm thinking it was 14.
18.
Leia?
Yeah, Leia was 18, and Padme was 14 when she became Queen of Naboo.
That's what it was.
I win again, Leto.
I knew it was close. I knew it was.
Okay, so I must have just kind of crossed threads that I was thinking Padme was the youngest queen or something. So 18, Leia, 16?
Yeah.
Mothma? She was married at 15. That's right.
Yeah, she was married at 15 and she became a senator at 16, which would now make her the youngest ever elected senator.
Ooh, crazy. Imagine getting married at 15. No.
Well, you know everything, so at that age, so yeah.
Well, that is a good point.
You know? What else is there to learn? Know it all.
The only other point I really had to make was I think these last couple episodes, the music has been standing out more for me.
Yeah.
It was like really good in this episode, I thought.
Got some like weird 80s synth, which I'm so big for. Big into my 80s music at the moment, so
nice.
Give.
But yeah, that's
The soundtrack is definitely a really interesting kind of unique take for Star Wars. It feels modern, but not in a way that's unapproachable or off-putting in the slightest.
Right. I feel like it was like quieter too in the first few episodes. Like I didn't hear it very much, but now I'm like, you know, it's kind of drawing me in, I guess. You guys right have on. Any other points or talking points?
The guy at work told me that the old guy that can't keep up in the line was a orc. in The Lord of the Rings.
I knew recognized him.
Yeah.
He's the one that goes after Merry and Pippin and says, I'll stick you like a pig.
That's the one. Yeah.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I never would have caught that.
He's got the horrible teeth and the weird little mouth. I thought I recognized him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Appropriate, because I've got my Prancing Pony t-shirt on.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That's great.
That's awesome. So I just, you know, I guess Andy Serkis and him, you know,
thank Lord of the Rings. Thank you, Leto. I'm so satisfied. You satisfied that itch in my head. That's been days. That has.
Yeah, I was like, there's something familiar about this guy, and then the guy at work like totally, you know, helped me figure that out. You know, Tom, he was on the show.
Oh, the dude that talked about The Last Jedi to us.
Yeah, Tom Zavrtnik. Yeah.
No thanks, kidding. Tom. Appreciate it.
He's awesome. He's an awesome guy. Got to meet his dad this week.
You got like these two people from The Hobbit, or I mean from The Lord of the Rings, that fit in okay in this Star Wars. But that dude in the Rise of Skywalker, that dude I didn't feel it. I can't think of his name. He was one of the Hobbits though. Talking about like the
Merry and Pippin, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did not fit in Star Wars at all. I'm like, why is this dude in here?
Billy Boyd. It was the other one. Dominic, no?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Wow, you know their names?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dominic Monaghan?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't work in Star Wars for me, but Andy Serkis and this old guy.
For sure.
That didn't bring me to Lord of the Rings other than, you know, saying that's Smeagol.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, see, I think that's the thing I love about Andy Serkis. I know him as Gollum, but I don't see him as Gollum. Like in Black Panther. Mm. Incredible.
Right. Yeah, and then you don't see him as Snoke either. You just hear his voice. No. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he worked just fine in there. Right on. I don't really have anything else on this episode.
No,
I'm good.
I didn't think I had anything to say about this episode. Turns out I had quite a lot to say. Thank you, everyone.
That's funny because I watched so I could take some notes, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have like, you know, a couple things in my notes, and I ended up having a bunch, and we talked about all of it. So kind of, I don't know, the podcast kind of brings like more out than I realize sometimes.
You know, every time. Yeah. Every time.
Figure watch for this episode, John. Which character gets a figure made after this episode?
Ooh. Okay. Let me play the episode through my head here. God, only because I would want it, I would say Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Because that would be freaking sweet. There's already a Saw Gerrera or two. There's a Tutu. Yes,
this would be young Saw Gerrera or younger.
Well, yeah, you know what? I would appreciate that.
I would like a Luthen with space wig accessory, please.
Yes. Oh,
that's awesome.
You could like change him from shop owner to rebel. That would be great.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hasbro, contact me.
They need to, because Hasbro sucks.
I'm going to have to say Cyril with his, you know, tailored, you know, the menial suit on. Yeah.
Right, with that tie.
In a bowl of cereal.
I love that tie.
I could actually probably wear that tie. I don't like real ties, so. That's another thought I had where we were talking earlier about about like all the cleanness of the Empire and the like the Mon Mothma stuff, and then the grittiness of everything else. And then God, where was I going with this? The prison. Cyril's almost in a prison too.
Oh yeah.
Oh right.
He's sitting in the cubicle with like thousands, it looked like, other cubicles all lined up in rows, and so as much as I don't really care for that character, I think that it's like he's also in a prison like Andor, and that's why
their stories
are
paralleled in this episode. Yeah,
absolutely.
When he gets a break, few hour break, and then has to, you know, come back and you know, check himself back in, which is, I think, probably way more depressing.
Yeah, you know, having Andor took a break too, though.
Oh yeah, taking a break.
He got
he did take a break.
Taking a breather.
Right. So that's all, I think.
Yeah. Spitten by Bix.
Good. Yep. Weird. Yep. Confirmed. Whole podcast down bad. Send help.
All right. Yeah. And then the Tales of the Jedi thing, I think, I don't know, maybe wait till after Andor to do some shows about that.
That'd be good. I caught a couple of those episodes. I was like, jaw drop.
I cried like a big baby. They were beautiful.
Nice. I only saw the first one and I told Charlie that I fell asleep. So,
that's okay. It's cozy Star Wars. That's allowed.
Yeah. I feel like I've become Leto. Hey, Leto, did you watch this? Yeah, I fell asleep. Like every time I would ask you something, like the Clone Wars or whatever. Leto, did you watch that episode of the Clone Wars? You know, I started to, but I fell asleep. Now I feel like I'm that person. Yeah. It's not a knock on whatever I'm watching. I think it's just me. You know, I'm either like exhausted or, you know, whatever. But yeah, we'll get to those Tales of the Jedi. I mean, everybody that I know that's seen them already says they're amazing. So
yeah.
Can't wait.
Cool.
For someone who's taken a long time to get on board with animated Star Wars, this has really changed my tune. Really. I want to go back and watch Clone Wars now.
Do it.
Considering I'm on Clone Army Radio, I feel like I'm really slacking.
You will do what must be done.
I will.
Do not hesitate. Show no mercy. All right, sorry.
All too easy.
Nice.
Oh,
all right.
All right. It's late for one of us.
Right.
We've had a long day.
We will catch everybody next time. Oh, by the way, if you weren't sure, this episode was all about Andor Episode 8, Narkeena 5. You know, throw that in at the end in case anyone used. And may the Schwartz be with you.
May the Schwartz be witches.
May the Schwartz be with you. Do it.
Do it.
Good etiquette. No, don't get me started.
You are fulfilling your destiny. All right, we're going to go left. Left nod, right? Or is it right?
I don't know.
I do this, I think.
Every angle. Admiral Viet.